Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lori London. Israel's foreign ministry confirms that two Israelis killed in a suicide attack in Istanbul, Turkey today had dual citizenship in the U.S. Their names have not been released, and it's unclear if they are the same Americans the White House says died in the attack. As Daniel Estrin reports from Jerusalem, many more Israelis were injured.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a statement that Israel's military and rescue services are sending airplanes to Istanbul. They're bringing the injured Israelis and the victims' bodies back to Israel. He says it appears the attacker belonged to the Islamic State group, but Israel has no information indicating the attack was targeted against Israelis. He says Israel will now likely raise its travel advisory threat level for Israelis traveling to Turkey. Diplomatic ties between Israel and Turkey have been rocky in recent years, but Netanyahu says the two countries have been making progress in normalizing relations. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Estrin in Jerusalem.
There has been sharp criticism over a deal European leaders have offered to Turkey in an effort to control the refugee crisis. Under the plan, migrants arriving in Greece will be sent to Turkey. In return, Turkey will receive aid and political concessions. Larry Miller reports Amnesty International likens the plan to a cyanide pill.
Amnesty says Turkey is not a safe country for migrants, and any return process will be flawed, illegal, and immoral, whatever phantom guarantees are given. The deal says that for every Syrian migrant sent from Greece to Turkey, one Syrian already in Turkey will be resettled in the EU. The human rights group describes the promise to respect international law as sugarcoating the cyanide pill those responsible for protecting refugees are being forced to swallow. Amnesty says this doublespeak fails to hide the EU's determination to turn its back on the crisis and ignore its obligations. However, European leaders insist the plan is legal and excludes collective expulsions. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
President Obama used his weekly address to urge Congress to set aside the noise of a volatile political season and consider his Supreme Court nominee, Judge Merrick Garland.
I fulfilled my constitutional duty. Now it's time for senators to do theirs.
Senator Tom Tillis had the Republican response.
The Senate can confirm a nominee, we can reject a nominee, or we can simply choose to withhold consideration of the nomination altogether so the American people can weigh in on this important decision.
Tillis says this is about principle, not the person. Oil traders feel optimistic about the possibility that producers will cut output and relieve the global oversupply. Oil futures ended the week sharply higher. Despite turning lower Friday, benchmark U.S. crude lost 1.9% to $39.44 a barrel in New York. This is NPR. As North Korea continues its defiance, the U.N. Security Council is expressing grave concern over the North's recent ballistic and missile launches. The council says the actions pose a threat to regional and international security and are in clear violation of U.N. resolutions. ISIS has released a new video with British captive John Cantley. He claims to be in the group's Iraqi stronghold of Mosul. NPR's Allison Muse reports ISIS has lost significant territory there since Cantley's last disappearance in a propaganda video back in February of 2015.
A video released by ISIS shows a gaunt Cantley standing at a traffic roundabout. He claims to be in Iraq's Mosul city. Behind him are twisted metal remains of what he describes as a kiosk for ISIS counter-propaganda. He mocks the U.S. air campaign, which he says is failing. The video ends abruptly. ISIS has come under increased pressure since it began filming the British hostage in areas under its control. In January, the spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition said the group lost 30% of its territory in Iraq and Syria. Cantley was kidnapped in 2012 with American journalist James Foley, who was later murdered by the group. Allison Muse, NPR News, Beirut.
A new era of relations with Cuba begins tomorrow as President Obama visits the island nation. He'll be the first U.S. president to step foot in Cuba in decades. He and his family will stroll the streets of Old Havana and meet with President Raul Castro. He'll also attend a baseball game and meet with political dissidents. I'm Lori London, NPR News, in Washington.